Welcome to the Vow Minister's Christmas service. The individual items will be unannounced to enable more to be included. I hope you will be blessed by the service today. Now let us pray together, please. Almighty and eternal God, at this time when we remember the coming to earth of Jesus, we are mindful that our celebration is not shared by everyone. As we rejoice in your gift to the world of a Saviour, may our joy so radiate to all around us that our Saviour may also become the Saviour of those who have yet to believe in the way to eternal life in heaven. May the world recognize that our carols are expressions of love and gratitude in return for all you offer us, dear God. Thank you for Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to those who believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. a poem, a saviour, from the grandeur of heaven to a stable here on earth, to us the gift of Jesus, a miracle, virgin birth. He was welcomed by the shepherds and by wise men from afar. The miracles continued, God's amazing guiding star. The baby lay unknowing the task for which he was born. God incarnate came to us on that blessed Christmas morn. The world was changed forever by the baby in the stall. The baby became the saviour, a redeemer for us all. His father's grace was on him as he saw the reason why his destiny was Calvary, where for us he chose to die. As he grew, he would meet those who resembled you and me and see their sin prevented entry to eternity. As we kneel before him now, at the crib which comes to mind, rejoice, for he's the Saviour, our full pardon he has signed.
We hear quite rightly a lot about Mary
the Virgin Mother of Jesus, but perhaps not so much about Joseph, the husband of Mary. Yet he was chosen by God, as Mary was, to be the family in which Jesus was to grow up. Joseph was an ordinary man, a carpenter, who God expected to teach Jesus his trade. Joseph was a man who could so easily have rejected Mary when he discovered she was expecting a child which wasn't his. And he could have disbelieved the angel, who could have confirmed the child was given to Mary by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're told Joseph was of the line of David, which sounds grand, but so were many others. We're also told Joseph was a righteous man and considered divorcing Mary quietly because he was not wanting to expose Mary to public disgrace. So Joseph was a good, kind man who came from a notable family. He was an ordinary man through whom God did extraordinary things. But when he considered what was quite a natural thing to do in divorcing Mary, and one can only sympathize with him for thinking along those lines, Mary could understandably have said to him, "It's not my fault. I didn't ask for this to happen to me." But an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and confirmed that Mary was with child, having conceived by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we might find it difficult to understand such a sequence of events happening to an ordinary man. But God has a history of doing extraordinary things through ordinary people. For instance, God chose an ordinary pawnbroker's assistant, not even a pawnbroker, but an assistant to a pawnbroker, William Booth, to found an international Salvation Army. Or William Carey, an ordinary cobbler, who was a self-educated man, who translated the Bible into 40 different languages and dialects. He often read while working on the shoes, during which time he taught himself Hebrew, Italian, Dutch, and French. Carey acknowledged his own humble origins and referred to himself as just a cobbler. So many of the disciples of Jesus were ordinary men. As we celebrate Christmas in a few days' time, yes, wise men came to worship Jesus in Bethlehem, but so did ordinary shepherds. I'm persuaded that so much of God's work gets left undone because so many of us feel that we are too ordinary to do great things or anything for God. Yet so often God has used ordinary men to do extraordinary things. The Bible has many illustrations of that happening. Just one is of an ordinary farm boy called Gideon, who God used to save his nation. So many more are recorded as being just ordinary until God worked through them. As we come to the crib this Christmas time, you may feel very ordinary and simply come to worship Jesus. But the shepherds who came were the ones God entrusted with proclaiming the Saviour of the world. Perhaps you feel too ordinary to be called to do that, but God takes that ordinariness and makes it extraordinary, if we let him. As we come to the crib to witness the miracle of the birth of Jesus, will you allow God to perform the miracle of using your ordinariness by doing extraordinary things through you?
Amen.
Our benediction. May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you throughout this time of Christmas and in all the days to come. Amen.